Are you guys ready to worship out there tonight? Good evening. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Duneland Christian Living Today. I'm Elliot Thosteson, serving as your co-host for you. Tonight, Dawn Thosteson is joining us together.
Dawn, hi, Elliot.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that. Happy Easter.
Thanks. Happy Easter back at you.
Yeah. We've been struggling with some technology, as you know, for the last couple of weeks, and here we go again. So we're going to be broadcasting, not live tonight, but we're going to do a taped recording and put it out there in time for our regular broadcast hour. So we hope you're still being patient with us. We appreciate the continuation of your following of this ministry, listening to our podcast and the emails that we receive, and hope that you're continuing to get our newsletter. We'd love to hear from you at faithshare@dclnetwork.org. That's faithshare@dclnetwork.org. And as usual, you can follow us on Twitter or like us on Facebook. I think I finally got that one right, Dawn.
It's possible. It's possible.
Well, tonight we're going to get into a general discussion. We're not selecting any specific gospel for today. Given that it's Easter, I really wanted to work around the term, He is risen. And I want to see where that leads us in conversation today. And it should be interesting. At least I think it could be very interesting to unwrap that simple term that we hear so often on Easter Sunday. Dawn, before we do, though, you have any comments you want to start off with?
I just wanted to put a shout out to our family in New Jersey. A wonderful man passed away yesterday. Albio.
Mm-hmm. And Albio Madama, right.
And I know our family's torn by him leaving, but I know they're happy to know he's gonna have this great opportunity to meet back up with his wife. And
those
are good things.
Yeah, that is our our sister-in-law and her dad is who passed, and we just lift them up right now, going through this holiday, understanding the celebration and the joy that comes from the resurrection, but also dealing with the passing of the father and grandfather to many kids.
Somebody they like very much here
absolutely.
On earth.
So, Dawn, what song are we going to do tonight?
I think I love to tell the story.
Okay, then we'll make sure we do that. Here we go. Let's listen in.
I
Well, we love to listen to that song. It's one of those old-fashioned favorites that we just really appreciate. Hopefully you appreciate it also. It's a simple, basic message, and it is a story, and we get to tell that story anew each Easter as we celebrate the resurrection. And I think that'll come into fold in our conversation somewhere along the line today. But Dawn, let's walk ourselves back a little bit, and you know that I wanted to have a conversation around this phrase, "He is risen." And I want to bring it in the context of where we are at today ourselves, with our ministry, where we're at in our individual lives, compared to how often we've heard that over the years in the past, and see if that calls anything together for us. But, you know, whichever perspective you want to come forward with and starting off, but let's just start, Dawn. He is risen.
I think we're starting with you starting us off. You go right ahead.
Okay. Well, for me, it's important to recognize that I had a conversation earlier today that helped me understand something with my life, is that we have this new opportunity in Christ because of his sacrifice. Each Easter, we have the opportunity of looking anew at the world and understanding what that means for us. You know, we've all come to a place in time in our journey of faith to where we are today. But I question and say whether or not this is where we need to end up. Is this where we only need to be? Or can we look at it fresh and anew each and every year to see where God wants to go beyond where we've taken his Spirit with us to date? So I look at this opportunity of saying, "He is risen," and say, "Today he is risen. Now what does that mean for me going forward? What do I need to do with that? How do I need to work with that information? How do I need to relate to the sacrifice that was made, but the ultimate victory that has given me the freedom in that term that we each receive to worship, to give praise, to give honor, but to serve," right? So to me, this is an opportunity to assess ourselves. And we look at Lent as a season of atonement traditionally. And atonement is one thing, but I also wanted to try to weigh in on this, and Dawn, I want to hear your perspectives, of not just atoning for who we are, our sins, our failings, our shortcomings, but a full assessment of where do we stand in our walk in faith, and how far along the path have we gone, and where else is this path going to lead us? And that's where this term, "He is risen today," is why I wanted to bring it forward. So,
well, first I want to say, I haven't looked at Lent in the same way. To me, when you say atonement, I think that sounds like trying to make up for things you might have not done correctly. Is that how you look at atonement? What do
no,
you think
atonement
of it?
Is to come to the understanding of the truth of our sinful nature, to express it, to acknowledge it, to be cognizant of the fact that we have not done things to the best of our abilities, to the best of God's desires. So that's the atonement piece, to recognize and to give in to the fact that we have left that short.
And maybe I'm completely off base, but I always looked at it like a time to get yourself and your faith more in tune, where
intonation?
No. you're so funny. Where you're getting yourself prepared, where you're focusing,
Well, Lent is certainly a season of preparation, no doubt about it. But because of the sacrifice, we're called to also give consideration to what have we done with that sacrifice, right? So here we stand now after the season, and we stand in celebration of that victory, and now what do we do, right? So
I was thinking about, you know, talking about us being human and how because of that we have weakness. And when you heard the story this morning about the apostles running away, I mean, if they weren't strong enough to stand, how are we supposed to be able to stand in this world? And maybe if you take them out of that moment, they did come back and they were able to stand for Christ. But
well, it's interesting because, in terms of coming back, I'm not certain I can find specific reference in Scripture where they all gathered again once they scattered.
No, right? I didn't mean coming back in that sense. I meant
coming
that
back
they
to their faith
became,
and
they became the voice for Christ.
Right, right. And I think that's exactly where, you know, I kind of wanted to go with this conversation, and that he is risen. And when we looked at what you're saying, Dawn, you know, when Jesus is captured and we look at that time leading to the cross, the apostles were nowhere to be found. Only one apostle was left with him at the cross. They had all scattered. They were looking in from the outside somewhere. We don't, you know, recognize if whether or not they even stayed as a group. We were all scattered in different directions. What we do know, though, is upon the resurrection and upon God coming back to them in the form of Christ resurrected, they now have an understanding of where they need to go, and they have this sense of mission to continue on with the ministry of Christ and now spread the gospel news. Christ appears to them, and they move forward, and they take that word out into the world.
Maybe, too, some of it was understanding that their fear was unfounded, because even though they were standing with him, I don't know that they could fully understand that he could rise, that he could be here, back here on earth after he passed, to let them know. And once they got to see that, then it all gelled.
Well, the whole thing wasn't, yeah, I think there's a couple things with that. You talk about fear in general. There's a very real reason to fear, because their lives were in danger, and certainly that puts all of us to the test. You know, we talked a little bit about that last week, and although our listeners probably weren't able to hear that, is, you know, when we were put to the test, to what extent are we able to sacrifice and make a total commitment to that, to Jesus and to God, right? And here they, you were put to that test, and they, you know, had to come to grips with that later on.
Well, and recognizing that what Jesus was bringing forward was eternal life and life after death, and that they didn't need to have the fear that they had.
In context of a new kingdom, because they were looking for a kingdom on earth. They were looking for a new world order, and certainly they didn't understand. But also at the same time, though, it's interesting to bring this up regarding about fulfillment of, let's talk about a little bit about the fulfillment of scriptures and not understanding the resurrection. Certainly in scripture, you know, Jesus fulfilled the scriptures in his death and in his resurrection. And yet the disciples were not there, right? They didn't link all of that together, because there's still doubt in their mind. You know, they just looked at this person as being a political leader, a charismatic leader, one who is standing strong, and they were standing behind that. But even they did not go fully into that opportunity and understanding exactly who was standing in front of them. And you know, there's that question of doubt. To what extent do we have the ability to give ourselves completely over to Christ and to where he wants to take us?
And it might not have all been doubt. Some of it may just have been fear. I mean, it had to be scary.
Yeah, I kind of put those words together, but you're right. It definitely was scary. But here's this issue. So you take that point on, and we talk about this term, he is risen. So for us, and for you particularly, you know, tell me a little bit about, you know, maybe where you were in your faith life, or how you viewed it when, you know, 10, 15, 20, maybe 30 years ago, compared to how you see what that term means for you today.
I don't know. I'd really have to think about that. And I don't feel like I'm ready to discuss that.
All right. Well, I was hoping I'd be able to draw some of that out. For me, he is risen today means a lot more in terms of difference in understanding of what that means to my personal responsibility. Certainly in years gone past, we all enjoyed the fellowship. Family and friends gathered for this festival, and gathering for the feast. Certainly recognizing that this was a true act that happened, that Jesus did die and he did rise, but never taking it really beyond the fact that it was a joyful time, something to be celebrated, the fact that he did, not something to take personally into my own action. And I think today where I'm at is I like to think that I'm personally taking ownership to he has risen and given me his spirit upon his resurrection, and place that in me to continue on with his work. I hadn't made that connection early on in my life. And
Plus, it feels like a much more personal relationship now.
Well, I think, you know, largely, you know, faith upbringing and how we understood things, or at least I understood things through the different practices of different churches that we've attended. But it is that personal issue of faith. It is that personal acceptance of the Savior. And, you know, we all say that, you know, if someone has helped save somebody's life, we hear the term, you know, well, I give my life to that person, I owe my life to that person. Do we feel the same way in the resurrection today, that we owe our life to Jesus for his death? And now upon his resurrection and giving us his spirit, are we confident, strong, and have the faith and trust enough to do something with that each and every day as we go forward? So, Dawn, does that move you in any particular discussion, in any particular direction?
I'm struggling. I mean, to me, I feel like I've had my faith, and so I don't know what you want to see. But
well,
I want to
understand
what
you say
like
you had your faith. So when you were, say, 18, 19, 20, did you act upon your faith the same way you're acting upon it now?
Well, obviously, I wasn't involved in my own ministry, but I taught Sunday school. I was active in my church. I felt a part of it. I was in the choir.
Mm-hmm. And so that personal connection, is it any different today than it was back then?
Well, that's what I just said earlier. I said, you know, it feels like much more of a personal relationship now.
Right. So you can see some differences as you look back on it now from where you were to where you are now, which is all I was trying to get at, is that I think it does come down to that personal relationship issue. You know, as we start off in faith, we kind of go through motions, we learn and we give because it's expected, required, it's a nice thing to do. And we have to allow those acts to take root within us so that we continue to look forward to a personal relationship and a personal understanding of God with us. And we need to, you know, bring ourselves to that connecting point and continue to look and say, okay, with that connecting point, at this moment, this Easter Sunday, is next year ahead of me going to be different, or is it going to be the same in my walk of faith as it was last year? Is God calling me further and deeper and beyond where I'm at today? Am I willing to accept that possibility? Am I willing to act on that possibility? Or is this going to be a year that's a continuation of last year and the same? And I think, you know, you'll be the first one to proclaim, Dawn, if you do go back and just look at our ministry work over the last 4 or 5 years, how it has evolved, you know, to not just in the messaging and what we talk about, the frequency and where and the confidence that we have in moving forward, the lives we've touched, the lives of people that have touched us. I think for us, you know, we can definitely see a progression and a change year to year to year. And I just want to encourage our listeners out there, encourage ourselves to be ready and receptive to the potential of the year upcoming, right? Now, with this resurrection recognition of this celebration, this day, for today's Easter, that the year ahead of us has new opportunities in Christ. It may be similar to where we've been. It may be different to where we need to go. But to just be receptive and making that connection and accepting it into your hearts.
As you said, everyone has their own path.
Yeah, and that path is not always a straight line. That path is going to be climbing mountains at times. It's going to be going down in valleys. It's going to be making some left turns. It's going to be making some right turns. And I think all that can be positive if we understand it in context of today, Christ is alive. And because of that, we have opportunity to live with him and in him to the world and to demonstrate his love and share his gospel message with others. And, you know, I'll see where that leads you. Like I said, the path may be straight for you for the upcoming year. It may need to take a left turn. It may need to go into a valley. It may need to rise high upon a mountaintop to be shouted with joy. But God's going to take you someplace different this year, one way or the other. It may be an outward expression or it may be an inward encounter. And make that opportunity happen by listening, praying, and continuing to be receptive. So, Dawn, is there anything you want to bring forward with this? Any additional thoughts or comments?
I'm just really happy that it's Easter, and I'm so glad that Jesus took the bullet and did what he did for us. That's huge. That had to be so hard and yet so fulfilling in seeing the folks that have been able to move forward in their faith and get what God is about and that he's here for us and that we can let him in and let his works happen through us.
Right. Well, I appreciate that, Dawn. I want to be, in our last few moments here, I want to bring across one other point of view, and we brought this forward in a number of issues, is that we need to work to look to common ground. At this day, remember that Christ died for everyone. No matter where you're at in life, whether you haven't started your faith journey yet, whether you're deep in the middle of it, it doesn't matter. Christ died for each and every one of us. And in that, when we see differences of opinions, political differences of opinions, faith-based differences of opinions of current events or whatever is going on, right? We have to be reminded and help to find the fact that we do have this common ground in our Savior. If we work with that as our starting point, we can build bridges and relationships. We can find deeper relationships with existing friends as opposed to becoming more divisive and more challenged in the world today. And I think that's really where we need to be across the nation and around the globe as we see division continuing to strike forward, people intentionally trying to provoke argument, provoke war, looking to separate as opposed to unite and create all this anger and hostility in the world, looking for and expecting a response. And what we have to do is to remember that our common ground requires no response other than an understanding that Christ died for you, he died for me, he died for everyone.
It's a very simple message that sometimes gets a little convoluted.
Absolutely. So with that, we're going to leave you with Michael W. Smith singing Open the Eyes of My Heart. And we hope you have a blessed holiday today, and we hope you have a joyous week. Have a good evening.
Bye now.
Are you guys ready to worship out there tonight? I know you know the song. Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Come on, let's go.
cry.